Romans the 8th chapter and Proverbs the 20th chapters, these two chapters, we'll find three verses of scripture here, two verses in Romans 8, one verse in Proverbs 20, that we're using for a text for this series of lessons. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself, or as the margin reads, himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. One translation reads, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. I made the observation that it seemed to me that in writing in modern English, if the writer had been writing today, that he'd said that the spirit of man is the electric light bulb of the Lord. In other words, that's what he uses for light. He uses your spirit to enlighten you. The spirit of man is the candle. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. That means he's going to use your spirit to enlighten you and your spirit to guide you. Now, we've found in these lessons that he leads, first of all, number one, by the inward witness. We read here where he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then we read where he said, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And first of all, the primary way, the main way, the number one way that he leads all of his children is by an inward witness. Now, we all know this, that if we've disobeyed that inward witness, we've gotten into trouble. But when we went by it, we didn't get into trouble. And then, number two, he leads by the inward voice. The inward voice, when I speak of it, I'm speaking of what we call the still small voice in our hearts, or the voice of our own spirits speaking to us. You see, our spirits have been born again. Our spirits have the life and the nature of God in them. And our spirits have the Holy Spirit residing therein. And our spirit will pick up things from the Holy Spirit who resides in us, and by that inward voice, the still small voice, will pass it on to our conscious mind. And then number three, he'll guide us by the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Well, the Holy Spirit residing in our spirits, and that's where he'll speak. But when there's a difference between the still small voice, which is the voice of our own spirit speaking to us and passing information on to our mind, and this voice of the Spirit of God when he speaks. Because when the Spirit of God speaks, it's more authoritative. It may be on the inside of you, but it's still a louder voice. Sometimes when he speaks, it seems as though somebody's standing behind you and said it. I've looked back real quick to see who was back there. I remember one time I was pastor within 15 miles of my hometown many years ago. And I had gone over to my hometown to attend to some business, and I went by to see my mother. And my mother said to me, she only had one brother. And so she said to me, Ken, said, pray for Uncle Larry. Now, I haven't seen him, but she said, they say that it just doesn't look like him. He's lost so much weight, you see, until he just doesn't look normal, doesn't look like him, doesn't resemble him his former self. He'd had so much trouble with his children. Well, I knew, of course, that he never took his children to Sunday school or church one single time in their lifetime, and never had prayer. And now then the boys are grown. And they've caused him a lot of trouble. And he spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to keep them out of the penitentiary. And so all of this trouble's come upon him. And so she said, pray for him. Well, I never thought any more about it. I really went by there before I went to town to tend to my business. And I got my business tended to, and I started back to my town 15 miles away. And the highway, we had no freeways in those days, the highway went, in fact, it went, you know, which was in town, just a street of the city, and he lived on this. Well, I had to go right in front of his house. I was going that way. He was vice president of the bank. He had a car, but he'd walk to get the exercise. And I saw somebody walking. Well, looking at him from the back, it walked like him. I said to myself, that's Uncle Larry. I know he walks to get exercise because he's in the bank all day. But I'll stop and pick him up, you know, and then ride home. And as I got closer, though, and started to pull over, and he didn't recognize me because he hadn't seen me in a long time, or I actually wouldn't recognize my car. I had a different car maybe than what he saw me last. And when I saw him from the face, I decided it wasn't he. And so I didn't stop. I went on a couple of blocks by him. And then it dawned on me. Well, Mama said, they say, I haven't seen him, but they say it doesn't even look like him. And I said, that was him. He's going down that way towards his house. I know that walk. That was Uncle Larry. And I felt so sorry for him. I had such compassion about it until I just cried out with tears, oh, God, save Uncle Larry. When I said that, I thought somebody sitting in the back seat. I knew I was in the car by myself, but there's a voice that said, that's what I'm trying to do. And I turned and looked. I even pulled my car over to the side of the street, to the curb, you see, and stopped where I could, because cars back in those days had a little higher seat, and where I could, I looked over there, sure, there wasn't anybody got down on the floorboard there between the front and the back seat, you know, and heard me pray that away, you know. And then after I saw there wasn't anybody there, I said, Lord, that is you spoke to me. Now, I prayed for him before, and I fasted. If it ever done any good, I couldn't tell it. And here I cried out with tears, oh, God save Uncle Larry. And then I heard his voice said, that's what I'm trying to do. And then I thought to myself, now wait a minute here. Wait just a minute. I learned something that day about the leading of the Lord. That's what we're talking about. You can too. And I thought, well, now wait a minute. I don't mean God sent that trouble on him. Certainly didn't. He sent Jesus to save him nearly 2,000 years ago. And I saw something that day. And I changed my way of praying. I saw something. Now I've been praying God to save him. And after all, as far as God's concerned, he's done it. He's already sent Jesus. I said, now wait a minute, Lord. There seemed to be an inward voice. Well, that was just my own spirit said to me. There's nowhere in the New Testament where it ever said, pray that sinners will be saved. Boy, that came as a shocker to me because we was always praying, God save sinners. But there was an inward voice, not this other voice, but an inward voice. Said there's nowhere in the New Testament where it ever said, pray that sinners will be saved. You know there isn't? I said, you know there isn't? And I guess I was sort of amazed at my ignorance. And I said, well, Lord, what are we going to pray then? And there's an inward voice said, see, my spirit knew it all the time. My head hadn't caught up with my spirit yet. This inward voice, that was the voice of my spirit said. This other voice was the spirit of God, authoritative. That inward voice said, Jesus said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest. Send somebody to harvest. Laborers into the harvest. I said, all right, Lord. Now, he wouldn't listen to me. I know that. I've got that much sense. Most time, your kinfolks won't listen to you, and the majority of time, you're wasting your time to mess with your own kinfolks. That's God just specially told you to. Are you listening? Amen. Amen. That's true. They won't listen to you anyhow, because see, if they listen to you, they're going to admit you no more than them. They don't want to admit that. That's hard on the ego. So I said, there's somebody. You know who it is. I don't know who it is. There's somebody that you can send across his pathway. You said, I can pray in faith now. That's the reason I've been stumbling before and in the dark. You said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now you send a laborer to harvest him. Now thank you for doing it. I never prayed another prayer. That's it. I've done what he told me to do. And I got the confidence that he heard me. So that's it. Praise God. Well, the very next time I was over there visiting, Mama said, you know, Uncle Larry's bought him a Bible and is going to church. Sure enough, I said. Yeah, I said, God sent somebody to him. Oh, when you get in line praying with the Word, things just work, don't they? Praise God. Well, he's 70-some-odd years of age today. I talked to him some time ago. One time I remember particularly I was going down that way and he was in the hospital and had an operation. I stopped and talked to him a little bit. I wanted to feed him out to be sure. And he said, no, he said, Ken, he said, I had perfect peace. They thought I was going to die, you know. Said they said I was going to die, but I'm ready. I had perfect peace. I've got perfect peace. It wasn't the least bit, just peace, but it was peace. But it had been a joy. Well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. And so, You see, I prayed the one prayer and got results. I'd been fasting and praying for years, and if it ever did any good, I couldn't tell a bit of it. But what I wanted to do is a little side journey here that'll help us also, but I want to emphasize the fact, the difference between the two voices. One of them was so authoritative, I thought somebody sat in the back seat of the car and spoke up. You see, that was the spirit that spoke to me. The inward voice was just the voice of my own spirit, you see, that my spirit was more enlightened than the head was, praise God. And so, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's not for us to tell the Lord how to lead us. But we can know this, that He'll lead today just like He did in days gone by. Praise God, it works now just like it did then. The Spirit of God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. The Word of God hadn't changed. Now we know this, that in the Acts of the Apostles, and elsewhere in the Bible, but we're primarily concerned with the Acts of the Apostles because we're concerned with what goes on in this church age. Now, they didn't have one church back there then, and we got another church now. That's where we made the mistake. We're in the same age they is in. We're in the same church they were in. We talk about the early church, you know. Well, I'm a member of the same church that they is a member of. Got the same Holy Ghost. Praise God. Can you say amen? Amen? And that's where we made a mistake. We divided that up. Seemed to leave the impression they had a whole lot that we don't have. No, they didn't have a whole lot that we don't have. Same Holy Spirit. He'll lead us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And thank God they're sons of God today, and the Spirit of God's leading sons of God today. Well, in the Acts of the Apostles, as well as elsewhere in the Bible, but primarily we're concerned about the Acts, we see how at times some receive guidance through a vision and other supernatural means, like an angel appeared to them sometimes. Now we read where others receive guidance, as I said, from an angel who appeared to them and told them certain things. However, such phenomena didn't happen every day in these people's lives. They occurred sometime once or twice in a lifetime. See, we read that, we'd get the impression that maybe every day an angel appeared to somebody and told them something, you know, or they had a vision. But not so. You see, too many times, God is trying to bear witness with our spirits, trying to guide us the way that He'd said He'd do it in the Word. And we won't listen, because we want something else, such as a vision or an angel. Well, you have no right to seek a vision. You have no right to ask for an angel. Don't ever do that. Because there's no scriptures that said that you should. But you have a right to claim what the Bible promises. And if God wants to send an angel, fine. If He wants to give you a vision, fine. Now, I suppose I did the same thing that all Christians have done in the babyhood stage of their Christianity. As a young man and a young minister, I'd heard people talk about having visions or maybe an angel appearing. And I, way back in the beginning of my experience, I prayed, you know, something like that to happen to me, but it never did. And then I matured spiritually until I never expected it to happen. Tell you the truth about it. Never expected it to happen. Didn't pray that it would happen. Did not expect that it would happen. But back in 1950, in fact, one day I was praying in my church, the last church I pastored. And I would shut myself up in my church to wait on God because I had a sense, just simply a leading, a witness in my spirit that I should do so. And so I shut myself up every hour I could to pray and to seek God with prayer and fastings. Then I would, when I first went out in the field in ministry, some have asked about fasting. I'd fast 2 days a week. Tuesday and Thursday is my fast day. I'd fast for 24 hours. I'd drink water, but I wouldn't eat food. And the benefit of fasting don't change God. He's the same before you fast when you get to fasting. If you're not going to spend your time praying, you're wasting your time fasting. Fasting will help you. It'll help you, number one, to keep the body under and your physical appetite under. It'll help you to have extra time to seek God. And the extra time that you're seeking God that you would be eating will be a great benefit to you. Can you understand that now? Amen. Anyway, they're praying in my church. The Spirit said to me one day, I don't mean my spirit, I mean the Holy Spirit. Now here's a verse, before we go further, open your Bibles. We looked at this briefly this morning, but see, I have to find a place to hook on here each time. And then we got new people, so we try to bring them up a little bit to where we were. Here in the 10th chapter of Acts, you know the story just as well as I do, and I'm not going into that. And the 10th chapter of Acts, the 9th and 10th verses, on the morrow as they went on their journey, drew nigh to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is 12 noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. While he's in that trance, he had that vision. He saw heaven open, this vessel descending unto him. Has been a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down to the earth, and you know that. God's showing him he's going to bring the Gentiles in. Now, skip down there to the 19th verse. After the vision was over, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, nothing doubting, for I've sent them. These were the three men from Cornelius' household, you know. All right, go over into the 11th chapter of Acts. Peter then was called on the carpet up at Jerusalem, you know, for preaching to the Gentiles, you know. You know. Many, many churches will call you on the carpet for preaching to somebody except their own. Bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. And so, amen, many wonderful people get into error. Isn't that, you know, and know little or nothing about the leading of the Lord. God may lead you to preach to somebody else. The Spirit may tell you to go. And then they call you on the carpet because you went. Well, that's what they did with Peter. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Sure, that's right. And so Peter's rehearsing the matter to him. He knew he was going to get in trouble. He took those seven brethren of the circumcision with him, or six of them as witnesses, you know. Now, he's rehearsing here what happened and so on and so forth. And he tells us that the Spirit bade me go with them. That's the 12th verse. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Peter said, the Spirit bade me go. Here the text said, the Spirit said unto him. That was the Holy Spirit that spoke to him. Well, somebody said, oh yeah, but now Peter was an apostle. He didn't say as many as are led by the Spirit, they are apostles. He said as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. By the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Spirit spoke to him. Well, I'm sure of this one thing, that was that authoritative voice that spoke to him, or the Spirit of God that spoke to him. It may have been that old Peter looked around to see who said that. I don't know, but it's possible that it is. But he knew that the Spirit bade him go, and thank God he went. Well, now, we can see this, that he leads by the inward witness. We can see that he leads, and we've covered that, by the inward voice. I wanted to bring out this fact again, to establish it one more time before we go further. And the reason I keep going over this is because this is sort of new territory to a lot of us. I've never really spent this much time talking on it. I have taught on it some, but very little through the years. I never heard anybody else teach at all on it, how to be led of the Spirit. Never heard any teaching on the subject. And I haven't done what I should have done. Because the Lord told me, and I rehearsed that to you, told me in 1959 when he appeared to me in a vision, while I was praying there in my church, I started it a while ago, the Spirit said to me one day, I'm going to take you on to revelations and visions. Well, immediately, revelations in line with the Word. We're not talking about something out of line with the Bible. In line with the Word began to come. Then in 1950, the visions began to come. And all through 1950, a number of visions came. Eight times Jesus himself appeared to me and talked to me. And then there were other visions. I put the eight times Jesus appeared in the book. I'm going to, the Lord willing, put the others together one of these days if I happen to get time, and put them together. I think they'd be of interest to us. Well, the visions began to come. Now, he said this, I'm going to take you on to revelations and visions. And he did just what he said he'd do. But that was the Spirit that spoke to me as I was waiting there in my church. Now, to show you the difference, here's an illustration of the inward witness. And like I said, I keep going over and over these things because we haven't talked before. It's almost new to us. If you don't keep going, folks won't get it. Somebody said to me, some things have gone over and over again. Somebody said this morning, well, I just got that this morning. I've been going over it all the week. See, that's why we must do it. Now, here in Acts 27, we looked at it, but we're going to look at it again. Acts 27, verse 9 and 10. Acts 27, verse 9 and 10. Now, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Paul said, I perceive that. That was an inward perception or an inward witness. He didn't say the Lord told me. He didn't say the Spirit of God told me. He said, I perceive this. Now here, in contrast to that, in the 13th chapter of Acts, will help us to further, give us further light in receiving guidance from the Lord. Acts 13, verse 1 and 2 said, there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And then the names of five men are given, among them Barnabas and Saul. And it says, as they, these five men, or ministers, prophets and teachers, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now over there, Peter said, the Spirit made me go. The Bible said the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost is the same. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, or Spirit, it's all the same. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It would be of interest to notice this, first of all, the conditions, under what conditions the Holy Ghost said something, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I'm convinced we need to have services where we minister to the Lord. Too many times we just minister to one another. Bible studies are good. We need them. Special singing's fine, but too many times you're singing, you're not singing to the Lord, you're singing to the congregation. Let's have some services where we minister to the Lord. What do you say? And wait on him. And it's in that kind of an atmosphere. That's the kind of atmosphere where the Holy Ghost can speak to us. We need to minister to the Lord more. One reason he doesn't speak to us more as a group and as a body, this were a group, five ministers. One reason he doesn't minister, speak more, is because we don't minister to him as we ought. The Holy Ghost leads us, as we said, through the inward witness and through the inward voice, the voice of our own spirit speaking to us. But when the Holy Spirit speaks, it will be a little more authoritative than the inward witness or that still small voice. Now, I don't know how the Holy Ghost spoke to these folks here. It could have been. It just simply said, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. The Bible does list that there were prophets present. It could be that one of the prophets spoke it out. But one thing I'm sure of, that it was all collectively heard, and all of them agreed that the Holy Ghost was talking. Praise God. Amen. There wasn't any disagreement among them. And so, when the Spirit of God does say something, or if it is spoken out through the prophet or prophecy, it should be agreed on. It shouldn't just be an isolated something that folks don't agree to. Amen. We do have guidelines. And so then, we need to realize there is a difference between the inward witness, the still small voice, the inward voice, and the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us. Well, when the Holy Spirit speaks, it may be, as I said, an inward voice, but it is more authoritative than the still small voice. Or it may be that it's so real to you that it's audible. Now, I remember one time death had come. I mean, after I'd been healed and in the ministry and filled with the Spirit and in the ministry for a good many years, death had come and fastened itself upon my body. And I know I've been dead. I've been dead twice and came back. And I know when death comes. I know how it feels. I know just exactly how it is. And I know death had come. I started actually to fall into the arms of death. Actually started to fall to the floor when the Spirit of God came on me and lifted me up. And I heard a voice speak. To me, it was audible. There wasn't anybody around me. I've thought about it very often. Had there been somebody else there, would they have heard that? To me, it was that real, you see. And this voice, I don't know, I believed it was Jesus. I know it was the Holy Ghost speaking, because we read earlier in this week that Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak. So he heard God say it, or Jesus, and he said it. And so I heard this voice. It sounded like a man's voice to me, audible. It said, thou shalt not die, but thou shalt live. And I want you to go teach my people faith. I have taught you faith through my word. I have permitted you to go through certain experiences. And you've learned faith both through my word and by experience. Now go teach my people what I've taught you. Go teach my people faith. The moment, I don't mean that long, the fasting, snappy thing, that voice ceased speaking, I was perfectly well. Praise God forevermore. Well, I've endeavored to be obedient to that heavenly voice, and that's the reason I teach faith so much. I'm supposed to. Now, Jesus said to me, I referred to that earlier, I'll refer to it again. I thought I wouldn't. I told you I think that I wouldn't, but I must. So I will. When Jesus appeared to me in 1959 in El Paso, Texas, and came into my room, sat down by my bedside, and talked to me for an hour and a half about the ministry of the prophet. But he said, I didn't put prophets in the church to lead and guide people. As many as are led, not by prophets, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Every Christian has the Spirit of God. He said the prophet of the New Testament doesn't have the same status a prophet of the Old Covenant had. And so he said, I'm going to lead you, just like I do all the rest of my children, by that inward voice, even though I was to stand and do at times, stand in the office of the prophet. Yet he doesn't guide me through the office of the prophet. I'm going to guide you just like I do all the rest of my children by that still, small voice. First, that's the primary way, the main way. The majority of the time, that's the way all Christians are led, by the inward witness, and then the still, small voice, and then the Spirit speaking. Primarily, first, the witness. Now, if you learn to follow the witness of my Spirit, he said to me, and he'll guide us in all affairs of life, he said, I'll make you rich. Now, when he said that to me, I couldn't have bought an old set of hens and chickens. He said, I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. But you're going to have to learn it, he said. Now, not only you learn it, but now you go teach my people. And I've been dilatory about this. That's the reason I've been doing it. Now I'm going to do more teaching from now on how to be led by the Spirit. I got some more things that I won't be able to cover here. But now he said this to me, go teach my people how to be led by my Spirit. Now, I began to learn in 1959 how to follow that inward witness. Now, before in my life, before 1959, there were several times that it cost me money. It cost me financially by not following that inward witness. I had to go borrow money to get myself out of the hole. If I'd listened to the witness, I wouldn't have done it. See? I had to go to the bank. I had to go borrow all my life insurance policy. And yet God said, you'll have money to loan, not borrow, you see, if you'll follow me. See, well, I wasn't following him. I saved, filled with the Spirit, standing in the office of God. But you see, I hadn't learned to follow the inward witness. You're not going to be able to operate in faith without following the inward witness and prosper. I'll tell you that right now. Might as well set it down in your noggin, in your spirit, in your heart, in your being, and get it all settled. Are you listening? Amen. And I began to learn to follow that witness, and I started rising to the top, and I've been rising to the top ever since then, and he did just what he said he'd do. It made me rich. Somebody said, oh, you're a millionaire? No, I didn't say that. See, go back and look up the word rich. In fact, Jesus discussed with me what the word rich means. I knew what it meant. See, look it up in the dictionary. Rich means a full supply. Rich means abundant provision. Oh, glory. Amen. You learn to follow the witness, you'll be abundantly supplied. Amen. Hallelujah. Abundant supply, full supply, abundant provision. You'll have money to loan instead of money to having to borrow money. It's been years since I borrowed any money individually, personally. I'm not borrowing money. I'm loaning money. Glory to God. He told me to. Amen. And you too, you ought to be there. Well, you won't get there tomorrow, but if you'll just stay steady, you'll get there. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, well, how about loaning me some money? Well, wait a minute, and I'll check up on the witness. Yeah, he said not to. That's it. Amen. Well, that's all in the Bible, whether you believe it or not. You're still here, you're going home. Amen. No, we got to follow the inward witness. Now, can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us there are many voices in the world, none of them without signification. We do not follow voices. Be careful about following anything without examining it in the light of the Word. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Examine it in the light of the Word. Be sure it's in line with this Word, and if it is, then it's all right. There's some dear people, I've met them, I've counseled them, I've tried to help them, even dear friends, who have gotten off by following voices. God does communicate with us through our spirits. But this isn't a matter of listening to voices. It isn't a matter of praying to hear something. If he speaks to us, all right. But if he doesn't speak, we have his word and we can walk in the light of it. I go by what he doesn't say as much as I do by what he does say. If he don't say anything, I just keep going on like I've been doing what I've been doing. Because he'll tell me, praise God, when to change. And if he don't say anything, I don't bother about it, don't seek anything, don't pray about it, I just keep going. Are you listening to me? But you see, people get in trouble all the time trying to hear something. And I hate to get on the negative side, but some dear folks, they're always seeing something. Under every bush, behind every door, under every bed, always hearing something. Amen. Well, those kind of dear ones are going to get in trouble. Amen. You don't need anything a lot of times. Majority of times you don't. If you just check on the inside, you got a witness in there already. Amen. Not a voice, but just an inward witness. Just check on the inside, you know everything's all right, then just keep going. Now, I've found this out in my own experience. I can't judge by your experience. I have to judge by mine. I found out that the times that God has miraculously spoken to me by his Spirit and told me some things about what to do in ministry and so on, that the majority of the time it was because rough sailing was ahead of me. And he was telling me so that I'd hold steady when the storm hit. Now, for instance, the last church I pastored, I didn't know, I'll be honest with you, and I'm different than a lot of folks. Don't try to be like me now. God may deal with you differently, but there are some principles that we're to go by. But I just simply went down. I heard this church was open, pastor's leaving, I went down to check on it. At 1946. And the pastor said, yes, he's leaving. They'd had some difficulty in the church. Actually, his time was up. They'd had an election, but he'd failed to be reelected. He said, Brother Hagin, I would recommend you, but I'm afraid my recommendation would hurt you instead of helping you. If people thought I was for you, well, they might vote against you. He said, I'll take you over here and introduce you to one of the board members next door, and then he can take you and introduce the other board member. You think you're interested in it? Well, you could. So I met the board members, and the pastor went his way, and he said, my time's already out anyway. They just gave me permission to live here in the parsonage another 30 days. I am no longer pastor. And so I talked with the board members, and they said, well, Brother Hagin, we'd like to really, said, we've heard you preach. You preach here at a convention or at a fellowship meeting. Then you held a revival in a neighboring church, and most of us have heard you. But it would be well if you could come and preach one of the Sunday for us. And said, if you were interested in it, the board said, we think that, we'd like to have you as pastor. We'd thought about contacting you, didn't know that you'd be interested. I said, I don't know that I would be interested. I really don't know that. But it won't hurt me to come preach one Sunday, whether I'm interested or not. And it wouldn't, would it? Sometimes you just don't know till you get in the situation. And so we made the arrangement. I said, well, I've got a revival. I'm going to the convention down in Houston. Then I have a revival meeting out at Humble. I'll be there 3 weeks, and then the following Sunday, I'll come here and preach. All right, they said, that'll fine. We'll set it up that way. Well, I went to the convention. Then I went after the first week of June, then the second week of June. On the second Sunday, I started a meeting out at Humble, Texas, and we ran the meeting 3 weeks. The pastor of that church came out of this church that I'm going to try out for. His brother happened to be there at the time visiting, and he's also a preacher. These two preachers came out of that church. And we preachers would meet at the church every day and pray about our revival meeting, you see, in the afternoon, just after lunch, about 1:30. Every day they'd ask me, have you prayed about Van yet? I said, no, I haven't prayed a lick about it. Well, when are you going to pray? I said, I don't know that I'll pray. When are you going by there to preach? I said, it won't hurt me to go by there and preach. I may not know till I get there that I'm, I said, well, I just take one thing at a time. I don't get too concerned about the future. The Bible said, don't do it. I said, I'm praying about this revival. This is what I'm interested in now. But every day they'd hit me with that. Have you prayed about Van yet? I said, no, I haven't prayed about Van yet. Well, are you going to? I said, I don't know whether I am or not. I'll let you know. We went 2 weeks. We got into the third week. Every day they asked me. We got to Thursday of the third week. Sunday we're going to close this meeting. Well, we had already there and started to pray, but then the pastor got a telephone call and had to go to the hospital to visit someone, and his brother went with him. I'm walking up down the aisles of the church. I remember I walked down the aisles from the front to the back of the church praying. And then there's three section seats, you know, and I walked around this center section and I started down the other aisle. And I stopped there for a minute, just in the back pew, just sort of leaning up against the back of the pew. And I said, Lord, I guess maybe I should pray. I haven't prayed lately about that. I'm going by. I got the appointment to go by and preach for them. Really, to go by and preach on Wednesday night after we close our Sunday night, to tell you the truth about it. And I said Sunday, but really it's Wednesday night. And I may just preach that one night and go on. But maybe I shouldn't pray about it. What about that? Just as plain as you speak to, just as plain as somebody standing beside me, there was this voice said, you're the next pastor at Van. And that'll be the last church you'll ever pastor. Now, you could interpret that 1,002 ways. Might interpret it that you could stay there till you died, or it might interpret that you won't pastor long and die. Or it might be that you're going to do something else, which I did, which I knew, of course, I would. And so about the time he said that, I walked down the aisle, praising God. I've already got my answer. Didn't take a long time to pray about it. Didn't have to struggle about it. See, that's the reason we don't have to struggle like they used to. Get an angel to come down and tell them something. Pray through hordes of evil spirits and darkness. Because we got the answer right in here. Yeah. We got the answer right in here. Amen. He's the one who's going to tell us what to do. We got the greater one in us. My, 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 my. You think what they did praying in the Old Testament. What should we do with the greater one in us? Praying in the Old Testament. They stopped mouths of lions. They defeated armies. Praise God. Amen. David's men became, you'd think he was reading after Superman. What should we do? What should we do with the greater one in us? It's written in the Old Testament, there's giants in the land. I want to tell you, bless God, there are giants in the land today. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Amen. The greater one's in me. He's greater than demons. He's greater than evil spirits. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than any test I face or anything that power that can come against me. He's the greater one. He's in me. Well, I have to stop and preach a little, you know. You don't mind that, do you? Praise the Lord. Now, I walked down the aisle, and about the time I got down to the around the altar here, the side door opened, and in came these two preachers. First thing they said, just like they ask me every day, first thing, have you prayed about Van yet? I said, I wouldn't say this to you, just to everybody. Because, you know, it's strange to me that Christians, and I've been that way all my life, Christians and fellow ministers, if you hear from heaven, they think you're a nut. That's the truth. That's the truth. Just because you're in tune with heaven and heard from heaven, we ought all be in tune. We ought all be hearing. We ought all be led of the Spirit, not just a few isolated cases. But you don't hardly dare tell them. They'll think, you know, that they ought to send you away for treatment somewhere. I said to these fellas, I wouldn't say this to you if you didn't know me. You know I'm not a nut. But you fellas are looking at the next pastor at Van. That's the way they look. You don't know that church like we do. No, I said, I don't know the church like you do. But I know Jesus. I know the Spirit of God. I know the voice of God. And he spoke to me just a few seconds before you broke in the door. And said, you're the next pastor at Van. I didn't tell them the rest of what he said. Wasn't into their business. Yeah, but they said that's our home church. We know something about that church. That's a trouble church. They're divided. I don't think anybody could get elected. I said, I'm the next pastor at Van. Well, you haven't even preached there yet. I said, I don't care. I know what he said to me. Well, when I got there, I told my wife what he said. When I got there, I found out how come him to say it. Because if he hadn't said it, in supernatural way as he did, I'd have left. You get in the pulpit and try to preach to a church that's divided. Half of them on one side, half on the other, brother. It's a good thing for my Baptist background and my training. I learned to preach from notes. I first got among Pentecost people, I had to hide them. They wouldn't listen to you if you preach them notes. They wouldn't want to listen to anybody, you know, if they knew anything. Don't shout me down. I'm all preaching real good. Jack, you didn't dare let them know you had notes. Boy, they'd turn you off. Old crowd would. They believe just open your mouth and the Lord will fill it. Boy, you never heard all the hot air, did you? They didn't believe in canned sermons and so on. But thank God my training came in good stead. Yeah, I had my notes right in front of me. If I hadn't had notes, brother, I'd have lost it. I mean, it was so cold, it was so dead. Every word I said, like you had a rubber ball bouncing off the back wall. I'd say it and come right back. You know what, don't mind? You preachers know. Some of you fellas had testified a few times, may know. I got through with that service, finally, some way or another. I stayed with my notes, just went right down them, just sort of. Pretty good talk. Wasn't much of a sermon, pretty good talk. At least it was homiletically arranged. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got through it some way or another. And then we went out to stay all night, and one of the deacons, by prearrangement, I said to my wife, we got into bed. You know, if I didn't know the Lord was in this. We had all our belongings in the car. We just don't stay one night. We just got enough out for that one night. Kids, you know, and children were small. Hadn't even started school yet. Ken started in September then. I said, you know what I'd do? If I didn't know God was in this, I wouldn't even tell the deacon. I'd get up and slip out. Just crank my car up and go. Brother, I would have done it. The next night, I stayed with another deacon. Because if you stayed with one deacon too long, the other might get jealous. You know, real spiritual people. So every night we moved to another location. You know, saved, sanctified, I started to say cranktified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Full of carnality. Oh, dear Jesus. Wouldn't be funny if it wasn't so pathetic, wouldn't it? Now, don't get mad at me. Tell the truth. And the next night, I'd say to my wife, because same experience, just every word I said, like it bounced a rubber ball back. It's coming right back, hit me right in the face. I suffered through it. I got in the bed, I said to my wife, I didn't know God, then we had everything in the car anyway, except because we got to move again the next day, you see. Because somebody might get jealous, you know. If you stayed two nights with one of them, you know, they probably wouldn't vote for you. They think more of them do me. Oh, anybody know anything I'm talking about here? Is that strange to you? So we did, we just had the clothes we wore and what we was going to put on and our nightwear, everything else in the car, so we wouldn't have to gather too much up. We could put the kids in the car just in their pajamas. And I said, I'd just get in the car and leave town if I didn't know God was in it. Because, see, when I got there, I thought I was just going to preach Wednesday night. The board said, we've got it set up where you can preach Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And, see, it'd been a month since I'd seen it. And we made the announcement for over 2 weekends, you know, to be according to their constitution and bylaws. And we're going to have election Sunday night after you get through preaching. Well, we changed every night, and every night I said to my wife, I didn't know God's end, I'd leave. Then they had the election. I got every vote but two. Somebody said, that's a miracle. Well, that's a miracle. Jesus Christ himself couldn't have got that good a vote. But he'd have told me, you're the next pastor. I never told him I had this supernatural experience. I just got up as graciously as I could and accepted the pastorate and all my feelings and all of my physical senses and all my head knowledge said, boy, you know, as it, you know, if I'd been going, if I hadn't had that supernatural experience, like I said, that supernatural war, I wouldn't have stayed. And then for the first 6 months, brother, first 6 months, it was tough. You know what I mean by that? Huh? Oh, brother. Well, you got a problem on hand. The dear pastor that was there, see, he didn't get any other church, so he still lived there. He still visited the half of the church that was for him and collected their tithes and got their support. And then talked against me and the other half. If he'd leave and go away and hold a meeting, we'd have a little respite, you know, and it'd be pretty good, you know, get loose for a service or two. Nobody had told me. I'd get up Sunday morning and start preaching. I'd say to myself, well, Brother H is back in town, just like he'd bouncing rubber balls off the wall. I'd tell my wife Sunday night after Sunday night, nearly every Sunday night, I'd tell my wife, you know, if I didn't know God was in this, I'd go rent me a truck. You know, they had trucks for rent then to move by. I'd back it up here at midnight, load everything up, and when they come by, wouldn't even tell them I'm going. They come by tomorrow, they'd find the parsonage empty. And think, well, the rapture took place because... I'm a sight, ain't I? I'm going to get over here and preach to this bunch of while. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I preached them all in or out one. I'm going to get on you now. Let's see, where were we here? Well, for 6 months they struggled through that. Now that's I could tell you other experiences, but I gave you that one as an illustration. When I had those times that the Holy Ghost spoke so forcibly to me in an audible voice, I found out usually that there's rough sledding ahead. That's the reason he's moved in such a supernatural way. So if you don't have it, well, don't bother about it. You didn't need it. Amen. When I didn't need it, he never spoke that way. See, because I didn't need it. But I needed that to hold me steady, because it would have been hard to hold steady. But I stayed steady and stayed in love. I stayed in love toward my fellow minister. Though I found out most of the time, 9 times out of 10, when I had that supernatural manifestation of the voice of the Lord speaking to me so forcibly, that it's because trouble's ahead. You see, the Spirit spoke to Peter, and so, go. Well, he had to be able, they called him on the carpet. They saw having a church trial on it up there, we could say. Isn't that right? He said, the Spirit made me go. Hallelujah. Well, if the Spirit bids us go, this go. What do you say? Hallelujah. If he doesn't, well, let's just walk in the light of the inward witness that we have. I go as much by what he don't say as what he does say. Remember, my wife and I was preaching. I'll close this with this illustration called Time Run Out. I'm going to talk to you in the morning about guidance through prophecy. And then tomorrow night I want to talk to you about how to, because if your spirit's going to be a safe guide, you're going to have to train it and develop it. I'll talk about how to train your spirit and develop your spirit. And then on Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, we're going to talk about eternal life. Now, my wife and I were holding a meeting in Bellflower, California, Full Gospel Tabernacle, month of July. And the pastor's granddaughter, in fact, we're going to close out on Sunday night. Now see, this is back 1958, this past July, 18 years ago. Or 50. You know, let's see, this is, what is it? What are we now? 77? Yeah, 67, 57, 58, 59. And so we were resting in the afternoon, and my wife awakened me. In fact, I woke up. Somebody was crying. We stayed with the pastor, Brother Andrews and his wife in their home. And my wife said, she saw us. She said, honey, you hear that? I said, yeah. She said, you know, we thought that some member of the church, you know, is that kind of crying that your kinfolks had died. We thought maybe somebody had come by, some of their folks had died, you know, and come by, and Brother Andrews was counseling with them or helping them or praying, come by for prayer. And then as we listened, though, my wife said, honey, that sounds like Sister Andrews, the pastor's wife. Well, then the thought occurred to us, maybe she got a telephone call, some of her folks died. I said, honey, you ought to go see about it. So she got up, put her robe on, went to see, and then she came back and said, honey, said their 16-year-old granddaughter, see, we were in Bellflower, California, Los Angeles area, you folks from Los Angeles know where Bellflower is, and said, their granddaughter, 16-year-old granddaughter, was visiting the other grandparents in Portland, Oregon. And they put her on a Greyhound bus to come back to Los Angeles. And when the bus got in, she wasn't on the bus. Well, the parents, you see, were there to meet, and so they became concerned, and the Greyhound bus company in 40 minutes checked every bus that's going to come into Los Angeles, and she's not on any of them. She's disappeared. Beautiful girl, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, 16-year-old girl, well-built, mature physically. They had vision because things disappeared. Many of them disappeared, never are seen again. They had visions of never seeing that grandchild again. Never seen it again. And then they began to run other checks, and about an hour and 40 minutes, the Greyhound company had called the daughter-in-law and said the bus that she was on came from Portland over to Reno, Nevada. And then it would come from Reno, Nevada to Los Angeles. And they said she was on the bus, got off of it in Reno, Nevada, and never got back on it. We know that. And they said, and so they just had visions of somebody tolling that girl away. And them never seeing her again, you see. And that's when she was doing this terrible crying, you see. And so it's time for us to get ready. We began to get ready to go to church. Well, we went on out to church, and I would usually stay back in Brother Andrews' office and pray till just the time they'd turned the service to me. But Sister Andrews, when I went in, my wife stopped by too, was in there on the phone. And again, they'd phoned to see if there's any word because it'd been many hours now, several hours, 4 hours, I guess. Sometimes she should have been there. And there's no word. She got off of the bus in Reno, and that's it. Sister Andrews hung up the phone, began just to cry, you know, sob her heart out because the devil gave her visions of that child being disappearing, that girl, never see her again. I said, Sister Andrews, the granddaughter's all right. She just got on the wrong bus, that's all. Now, I said that. I didn't have any revelation. I didn't have any witness. I didn't have anything. Now, I'll tell you why I said it. I remember she looked at me and said, Brother Hagin, are you sure? Has the Lord spoken to you? I said, no, no. She began to cry all the harder. My wife trying to pacify her. And I said, now, wait a minute, Sister Andrew. Dry up your tears now. Wait a minute. Listen to me carefully, please. Listen to me carefully, please. I said, if something was going to happen, something bad, the Lord would have told me. Now, we're getting into the prophet's ministry now. You may have had a witness, but I said he would have told me. I got a working agreement with him. I said, I've never stayed in anybody's home yet. The Bible said you won't give a cup of cold water to a prophet but what you'll receive a prophet's reward. You see, you're not going to. But what is a prophet's reward? See? Prophet in the Old Testament, they built a little house for him, a little room under the house for him to stay. Entertained him. He sent his servant and asked him, what's the desire of your heart? Well, here's a woman that's barren, never had any children, might have a son. I said, all right, you'll have a son. So she had one. I said, he would have told me. I go as by much as what he don't say as what he does say. I'm saying to that in both areas of ministry, prophet's ministry or just being led by the Spirit. If he doesn't say anything, go on, you're all right, glory. Praise God, everything's fine. I said, he would have told me, you entertained me at home. I never stayed in anybody's home yet. Nobody's ever been kind to me yet. Nobody's ever given me anything yet. But what? He told me if they needed help. He told me if their kinfolks were about to die. He told me if something was going to happen, we could pray and change it most of the time. Sometimes we couldn't, just had to prepare them for it. I said, he would have told me. When I said that, now see, here's the difference. This is not an inward bit. When I said that, I'm sitting there in the chair. My wife's right by her with her arm around her. I'm looking her right in the face. When I said that, right in front of me, just run off like a on TV screen, I saw this bus pull up. I was standing out by the, you see, in spirit, by in front of the bus station in Reno, Nevada. Never been there in my life, but I was standing there. I tell you what it looks like, standing there. I saw this. There's another bus here. I was standing in the back of this bus. Here's a bus pulled up. I saw in the front. It said, Los Angeles. I saw these people get out. I saw this beautiful blonde-haired girl. I never seen her in the flesh, but I saw her go inside for a few moments. I saw her come back out, and she got on the bus in front of her. I said, wait a minute, I see it, I see it. She got on the wrong bus. She's all right. She said, are you sure? I said, I'll let them cut my head off before they say it isn't so. I'm staked back there then, 25 years of ministry on it. She's all right. By the time the service over, Greyhound Bus Company was calling. Sister Andrews went back and got the phone, came back, her face wreathed in smile. She said, they just called. She got on the wrong bus, went over to Salt Lake City. They're located over there. Didn't have a bus coming to Los Angeles, but one down to San Diego, so they said they could pick her up at Redlands at 4 o'clock in the morning. But the Spirit had already showed us.